We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Andy Liu, I have one question for you. How many timelines are there? I texted about 155 people right when he hit that last three and said, there is only one. He is the timeline, Samuel. He is the timeline.
That's about where I'm at. Like, first off, I want to say it was a great game. Cleveland is a really fun team to watch. I'm really excited to have friends of the show, Justin Rowan and Carter Rodriguez on to kind of feel like a little throwback energy there. But with that said, like, I don't know how you feel. My energy the whole time is just general annoyance around the Warriors making decisions in the offseason that were not necessary when they won a title, like gutting the entire bench and going with this two timeline plan for no reason. And then Steph Curry puts on just a masterclass performance in the fourth quarter and just changes the mood overall.
He's going to do this all season. I mean, he's going to do this all season. He looks like
he's going to have to right now.
he's the guy that looks like he didn't take a single break from when last finals ended. I did not expect this to happen. I thought he would come in and kind of chill. I think he actually came in and probably wanted to relax a little bit, but you know, you can't now. And he looks like the guy that carried the Warriors against Boston. He looks like the guy that closed every single series out against Denver and whoever. And so this is what we're going to talk about on, you guessed it, tonight's light years post game show presented by Pacific Catch.
The Pacific Catch post-game show. Woo. Pacific Catch. What is it? West Coast? West Coast style? Sustainable food, Andy?
You know, here's the thing about Pacific Catch that people don't understand. You can get literally any type of food that you want there. Sometimes you're feeling X. Sometimes you're feeling sushi. Sometimes you're feeling burgers. Sometimes you're feeling shots of tequilas with the boys, like I am all the time.
Pacific sometimes Cat. Sometimes you want sushi with a burger with a shot. You know, I don't know. That's kind of our speed. So, you know, yeah, no. Pacific Catch, great locations in every county in the Bay Area. So, you know, you could be on the peninsula with Andy, could be up in the North Bay, could be in the East Bay, could be in the city. There's a location for you.
It's on every street. There's like 15 plus locations. It's a local restaurant. Light Years Podcast supports local restaurants, supports local foods, local alcohols, local anything. And we're happy to be sponsored by Pacific Catch all year long. And what else? I think we just recently got the ability for y'all to do super chats, right, Sam? So anybody can throw in super chats now, which is something I'd love to see more of.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's get into the game a little bit before we get to the chase down guys and go down, you know, memory lane and all the fun stuff. So I feel like, Steph was the biggest story. We already talked about Steph a little bit. The second biggest thing from tonight for me was Jordan Poole starting to find a little energy, and it kind of ties to Dante DiVincenzo coming back for this team a little bit. Jordan Poole, still not up to the level he was at last year, but definitely better, putting players around him who can move the ball, who can get him off ball, made him a little more comfortable, and probably his best game of the season so far.
Easily his best game of the season so far, not even close. And it was only a matter of time, I think, for both Clay and Poole. It's only going to be a matter of time till those guys get ready, right? Those guys are on the first timeline. Those guys are ready to win now. Those guys have proven that they're going to be clutch players, proven that they're going to make big shots, take big shots. And I think for me, I was never going to be that worried about Jordan Poole. Like, do I think he's playing bad? He's playing very bad. But do I think he's going to be able to come back and be okay? I always thought that was going to be the case. Tonight was a good time. They needed every single bucket. The Warriors right now, and look, the Cavs are a really good basketball team, man. Like, they're not a joke. They've lost three games. They started 8-1, but they are a really good basketball team. The Warriors needed Jordan Poole to play like he did tonight. 34 minutes.
They needed tonight, Steph to go, right? 15 for 23. Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 34 minutes for Poole. Kind of interesting that I don't want to say Clay got benched for him, but in the second half, Kerr definitely kind of rode the hot hand there. It was less about seniority and more about who's playing better there, which is the right decision given kind of how little depth this team has and kind of how big of a hole they are in with the 0-5 road trip. Like, you kind of have to go with what's working, and Jordan Poole is working for this team in the second half more so than Clay. I will say, Pete Clay fashion, hits a big shot down the stretch and makes a nice defensive play down the stretch as well. So even he's going through it. He's not playing up to, like, it's weird seeing him kind of like regress from where he was last year when we all thought he'd play better. And he's clearly he seems like he's a little bit in his head over everything, but he's still a player who's kind of played in these moments, and he's earned, I guess, the right to kind of play through it a little more than some other guys.
Are you kidding? Absolutely. That's a guy that for me, I'm never going to get that angry or slander, because that's just a guy that's helped you win four championships and has been and made so many plays in his career that, to me, I'll never feel comfortable. Do I feel comfortable slandering James Wiseman? Absolutely. He's done nothing for the Warriors. Like, Kuminga. Like, same thing, right? Like, those guys have done nothing. Dante DiVincenzo, yeah,
you earn equity and trust
as a fan, right? They might not care what I say, so that doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, as a fan, I'm going to give, for me, guys like Klay Thompson less space in my head, because I'm just going to say, well, he's got a shot to figure it out. I think I'm going to believe that he's going to figure it out, and I'm not going to be too frustrated about it. But like you said, dude, he hit that huge three. Huge smile after he got a couple stops down the stretch, right? Before he got that last deal. Maybe this is what kind of gets him unlocked here. It's only been 12 games in the season so far. They said he didn't play 5-on-5 at all, so maybe he's getting back into it. We hope.
He certainly definitely didn't like look Poole like fully in game shape at the beginning of the season, so maybe that's part of it. But yeah. Something to watch going forward, and they can definitely use him in general. I feel like we're in some ways bearing the lead. Like, obviously Steph's the lead, but Anthony Lamb.
Oh my God, I thought you said the lead. I thought you were going to say Steph, but all right. Yeah, let's go Anthony Lamb. I feel it.
So first off, he played after Jordan Poole, after what Steve Kerr likes to call the core six, he played the most minutes of anyone. Which in some ways speaks to the lack of a bench. Also just kind of speaks to, he earned it. He played well the whole way through. He hit big shots. He played defense. He played smart. I know your favorite part was when he tried to hype up the crowd.
Oh, so good. So good. Look, man, my favorite part about his game is that he doesn't make bad mistakes. That's what I like about Anthony Lamb. Is he good? Like, is he going to be in the NBA for a long time? Maybe. I don't know. He's not like that good, but the fun thing about him is like, yeah, right. But he's energetic, like you said. Like, he tried to pump up the crowd two separate occasions. he tried to get the energy going when he came in. It's like he read the tweets. It's like he saw what the reporters were asking about. He said, I'm going to take it upon myself to be that guy. And you know what? If I were Anthony Lamb, I'd do the same thing, because you know why? I have a chance right now to make it into the NBA for the rest of my career. We saw Juan Toscano-Anderson do that. He made his way into the NBA, and now he's just a vet min guy. Dude, that's $2+ million a year every single year JTA is going to make for a long time. That's real money. Anthony Lamb's looking at it, and he's like, well, if Kuminga and Wiseman are just going to sit there and mope all freaking day, I'm going to go in, I'm going to play with energy, and I'm going to be a guy, right? I'm just going to be a guy. Plus six. Plus six, makes two threes, and he's just playing very hard. Like I said, I don't know if he's going to be good long term, but dude.
and it's like the juxtaposition. It's like he's undersized, unlike Wiseman and Kuminga. Definitely not the fastest guy on the team.
No,
wasn't drafted. But just gives a shit. Plays hard. Plays smart. Like literally, he does everything. How many different ways did Steve Kerr allude to need guys who make the game easier, need guys who make the simple play, make the smart play, that sort of thing, like play simple, that sort of stuff. In many ways, playing him is kind of like sending a message to lottery picks that, like, you know, I will play a two-way guy. I will get anyone in there over you, that sort of thing. And honestly, it's justified, because gifting minutes to guys who weren't producing clearly wasn't working for the team. And it's unfair to the starting lineup, which is still very capable of competing for a title and winning a title. Like, do they have the depth to right now? They don't. But like, the starting five can hang with anyone in the NBA. And you kind of have to roll with it. You kind of have to set some expectation. It's not a rebuilding team. You don't get like 2 years of games for Kuminga or Wiseman to kind of explore who they are, type of thing going on.
I kind of honestly thought that Jamichael Green was going to give him these type of minutes, because it's what Jamichael Energy makes a couple threes, and it's kind of disappointing, to be honest. And then also Moody just didn't play tonight, which was a little disappointing as well. Dante DiVincenzo had a much better second stint off the bench, so I think that's just rust. Like I wouldn't cross him off the list for sure. I think he can still play impact minutes, but type of game tonight where another one where it's like, dude, you got 4 days off, you can go with an 8.5-man lineup. Kuminga played 4 minutes, which I thought were kind of up and down, but he just didn't see the floor again after that. But I mean, but look, before we get the chase down guys, Steph, can I just talk to Steph one more time? He gave the night celebration tonight. I think that was the first time he dropped that this season. The three that he made to tie it up, insane, because he's running backwards and then he looks away after he shoots the ball. And then the one where he shoots
two-man game with Draymond, like, how many times have they done that?
It'll never end.
To everyone for eternity, right?
Yeah. Draymond better be on this team next season, by the way. Just I'm watching these first 12 games and I'm just like, he better be on the team next season. Just Steph Curry carrying this team. And then the last shot, the three that he made were Clay illegal screen truck stick. Love that, because the rest were awful tonight, and Steph closes it out. So dude, I don't know, man, that's just a classic. Felt like a playoff game, did it kind of
sort of. Definitely from the Warriors perspective, because it's like you dig yourself in as big a hole as they have. Every game's gonna feel tight until they put themselves back into like appropriate playoff range where we can have games off and the normal stuff.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I think it's time to get to the chase down, guys.
Let's do it.
Let's get Justin and Carter up here.
What's going on, boys?
Let's do it.
Hey,
why did I agree? It's one in the morning. I'm pissed. What are we doing? What am I doing?
Hey, are you sober?
The time change.
I didn't choose self-care. That's for damn sure.
Andy, I chose sobriety tonight. That's how much I value you guys giving us this invite.
Man, I wish you didn't, but I appreciate you.
You know, I'm getting old. I can't stay sharp when I'm all loopy like I used to.
I thought that was a fun game.
Carter's staring in the abyss, by the way. For guys that can see audio, Carter's staring into the abyss.
for everyone watching on YouTube, yeah, Carter has the face I have at least seven times this year after Warriors losses. So I can relate to that face. I think my overarching take is you guys are even better than I thought in general. I know you guys feel very disappointed by the Cavs' performance, but like,
well, here's the thing. I don't feel disappointed by the performance. We were running through all the stuff that isn't going super well for the Cavs right now, and it's like not a short list, and they're 8-4. So it's like Isaac Okoro forgot how to play basketball.
Got five of those on our team. So
Darius is shooting I think Darius' splits are like 37, 31, and 81, and he's played five games.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff that's not going awesome. They've had bad health luck early on, and they're still pretty darn good. So I would not put this in the class as the last two losses to the Kings and the Clippers, where I thought the Cavs played pretty lazy California flu type basketball. But in this one, I thought the Warriors were just really good and won the game, and it sucked because they had lost two in a row going into it. And that's why you don't screw around and lose to the Kings, I guess.
Yeah. And I thought it was a really good game. I think the Warriors experience definitely showed down the stretch. Garland last two games, I know he was battling the flu against Sacramento, kind of still looks a little bit lethargic. Obviously, he's still playing with one eye because Gary Trent Jr. is a terrorist.
With the criminal, but... Gary Trent Jr.
Known criminal. I thought it was a good game. I thought it was entertaining. It was back and forth. A little preview of Chapter 5 of this rivalry, maybe.
I'm saying, yeah.
a lot of it does feel fixable. And while like the Isaac Okoro factor is an unknown, Garland playing better is probably something that's
he
safe
looked,
to bank.
He was bad tonight. I'm a Garland guy. I think way more than Sam is a Garland guy.
I've my entire fantasy team is built around Garland, so I'm a Garland guy. Whether
you're
I
a Garland guy now, I was Garland guy last year, but he's struggling. So maybe it's the eye thing. His face looks weird.
Yeah, I think he's still probably under the weather. If I had to guess, I know that when
he
they
looks
play...
like he has a black eye still. So.
Yeah, well, there's definitely that factor, but I know like when they played the Lakers, the Lakers basically had like a team-wide flu going around it, and it's kind of felt the same way. This felt like a better game. Like I thought the Cavs gave good defensive effort. The two previous games, you know, they're both kind of third game in four nights. These guys are playing like their internal clock, both with being on the West Coast and with the time change, is like the start times are like 11 p.m. or 11:30 p.m. depending on the night, and I think that's a factor. But I thought it was a really good game, and I'm just a little mad at you guys that this is the time where the Warriors decide, you know what, we're just not going to play Wiseman. Like, what is this about? What is this about? Because I've heard that
you
like
get
there's
White
this budding
back. God.
There's, there's this budding rivalry between Evan Mobley and James Wiseman on who's the better prospect and all.
Evan Mobley missed seven shots tonight. James Wiseman missed zero shots.
Exactly, right? So that was disappointing. Dante did look great. Like, I feel like he stabilizes your bench so much. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those bench numbers change as you play Wiseman a little less and have Dante out there.
So give me your guys. I love like crowdsourcing kind of, you don't watch every Warriors game. So like what your overall impressions walking into this team, obviously it's a different bench than what they had in the finals, which everyone watched last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Justin.
Well, obviously Jordan Poole kind of broke out of his slump. I've watched a little bit of Warriors this year. I thought he had a better game. And I do think having Dante out there as another ball handler is really helpful. Like I know that he didn't have any points on the night, but just having that other ball handler out there, having him as somebody that they could throw on Garland and kind of be disruptive on the defensive end, I thought he did a really good job of that. And as the Cavs kind of staggered those Garland and Mitchell minutes, especially when Okoro and Jetty were out there who are both struggling, you could really kind of sell out defensively. And that kind of stuff, like those kind of in-game adjustments to me is typical Warriors basketball, right? Like we're going to really try to take away your bread and butter and make you beat us in other ways. And I think for a young Cavs team, playing a team with this kind of experience, that's really valuable for them.
Be honest. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, it's just, you know, like you started this podcast saying like the timeline is Steph, and like, it still feels the same, you know, it sucks. Like,
like that's still the Warriors.
I feel like Poole, I love watching Poole play. I think he is like something, even on his bad games, I think the aesthetics of his game just really, really vibe with like my basketball sensibilities, and it's just another movement shooter
in general.
Yeah, big vibes, except for some players. I think that
we've already put that behind us.
I'm sure you have. I think that it is really, really hard for Kevin Love and dudes like Kevin Love to guard this team still, you know, like I felt like that. I feel like when I watched this game, like it's so clear that they just needed to excise the dudes who can't play right now. Like, because that you look across the box score, no one's negative plus minus. They didn't have any lineups that just killed them in this game. And I think, and then you look at the Cavs and Love, Okoro, Jetty all played bad or, you know, are bad fits, and the Cavs lost those minutes and they lost the game.
That's because the Warriors went 0-5 on a road trip and they had no choice but to treat every game like it's the NBA Finals right now. That's where the as Warriors fans, they have no choice. They have to not. They would probably prefer right now to be 8-3 coming in like the Cavs were, and you would have seen Wiseman tonight. You would have seen Wiseman for 22 minutes, and the Warriors would have lost by 26. But you didn't, because that's not going to happen right now. The Warriors are in a very, very bad place, and they have to go back to playing like the Warriors, which Sam and I think is hilariously ironic, because you keep trying to go away from who you are, and the further you go away, the more you have to come back just to win games like tonight.
Feels like you've been advocating for that for years, basically. Like, just
every
focus on Warriors basketball. Like, just, you know, mix in a little more Steph. Like, just spam some Steph pick and roll. Let's just play some Warriors basketball. Let's simplify things. Like, let's lean in on our strengths. And it's just so funny that there's always seems to be kind of this push and pull with the Warriors of, like, not fully embracing.
What's Diamond saying? Diamond.
Oh god!
This is my current favorite internet meme, by the way. Where the LeBron pick from, what was it? When he was talking about how he knew
the Kobe.
He knew Kobe was going for 80.
You got to read this.
The best part about that quote is that he's like, "I told my friends Kobe was going for 70." Like, it's that little.
I don't know why I said that.
It's that little liar. Bit where, because if you say liar. 80, everyone's going to roll their eyes. It's the 70. It's that effortless, like, you know, I was slightly off on the detail, but then as the game went on, I was like, you know what? I feel a level of confidence that he's probably going to get 80 now.
I respect people who lie for no reason. I think it is such a fun personality trait.
That's why Carter and I like get along harmless, so well.
Harmless white lies. Like,
yeah,
like
Carter knows that I'm the king of the harmless white lie. Yeah. I will lie to make people feel comfortable. And I think in LeBron's case, he just never wants to give a bad quote. Like he never wants to like,
that's a good take.
I think he just doesn't, because he's like had cameras in his face since he was 15. I think he just always wants to be interesting, and he never wants like a person to like bring up, oh, this, do you know this Liverpool legend? No, sorry. Oh, I don't know you. It's yeah. I didn't get to watch you a lot, but I've seen your highlights. I know. Like you always have to give a good quote.
He said on the pitch, like he knew, like
that's very unique.
Proud of saying that, like that was like he was like, yo, unique. I know that's what
he used unique twice, which is great.
That's my guy.
Let's get back to the game just a little bit here. I think it's interesting that Cleveland, first off, they have as close to an ideal front line to frustrate the Warriors as possible, and for like large stretches of the game, they abused the Warriors inside and had the ability to, you know, make their shooters uncomfortable enough. Like obviously I'm talking about Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. And it's still kind of, it was, are they going to hit enough shots when Kevin Love's on the floor? That's like really kind of the game changer there for the Warriors at this point, because I don't know what else, the Warriors could do with that matchup.
I feel like the Warriors generated enough, like I feel like there's this expectation from fans that like you're just not going to give up open threes to the Warriors if you just focus hard enough, and you are. Like I don't like I think that the Cavs gave up an acceptable amount of open threes tonight because they can't. You know, I think they navigated all the split cuts super well. I think that, you know, the real benefit of Mobley and Allen is that when you do fuck up, you still might contest the layup. Like when they slip it, and like Draymond had some ugly misses, and Steph had a couple no chancers too, though he was pretty killer most of the game. So, I mean, I think that they have the right personnel, and the guards worked pretty hard in this game. I was fine with the defensive effort.
Yeah. The range that always sticks out to me with like someone like Evan Mobley or even Jared Allen, or just like they were able to erase that even though they seemed kind of out of the play. Like if it's an average big man in the NBA, you're like, all right, well, Steph's going to finish this inside, but they're able to get there.
And it's not like the old DeAndre Jordan, like make up for your mistakes where it's like you're making a mistake. It's like, no, they can afford to play more aggressively. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's a mistake oftentimes when they're, you know, a step or two further than the offensive player would expect, 'cause they just know they can get back.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like Dean Wade kind of being a late scratch in this game, he would have been really helpful for the Cavs, like another kind of 6'9", 6'10", mobile defender that can hit some shots. The other weird thing that seems to be going on is Howell Neto's been active the last few games, but he hasn't played, and he was a real big difference maker for the Cavs in a lot of those games, especially against Boston. And he did take a hard fall in Detroit, and he was banged up prior to that. So I don't know if this is a situation where he's like available, but the preference is let's rest him and get him healthy. But having a backup point guard to kind of spell Garland and Mitchell, as much as you want one of them on the court at all times, I think having another ball handler is going to make a difference. So whether it's Howell Neto, whether it's Ricky Rubio later in the season, I think having those guys is going to make a big difference.
By the way, Mitchell looks incredible. I gotta.
I was scared. I was scared when he went down at the end of the game.
And then you saw the replay, and you're like, I'm just not gonna talk about this because he clearly fluffed.
I got a take for y'all. I'm interested in because Draymond Green starts the season. He looks incredible, and we've been talking to each other for a long time. And how must it feel to be a Cavs fan to still be looking at Draymond Green do good things on a basketball court? Because it's got to be. Hey, Steph, I get it. Look, he's great. But Draymond, he's screaming. He gets a steal off Evan Mobley, which is you're just like,
dude. I hate watching Steph kill me so much more than watching Draymond.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, Steph, it's like Draymond is like, I don't. Draymond to me is like, you know, like when Magic and Bird talk now and like kind of are buddy about how they used to go to war. That's kind of how I feel about Draymond. Like, he doesn't really like rile me up at this phase, because it's like an old villain, you know, like,
plus he gives half of them back, right? Like with the technicals and like hilarious weird fouls and stuff like that. Like he gives as many good plays to the Cavs as he does to the Warriors. What drives me nuts, and I like Steph, I respect Steph. What drives me nuts is you can always see it coming. And it's it's inevitable. Like, he winds up like a freaking cobra, and like you can just tell, okay, he's getting his legs set, he's going to take some sort of audacious three. Like, you can tell when he's about to take the shot or what he's about to do, but there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you can already tell, okay, that defender is like a half step behind, this is going to be a good look for him. And that's what drives me nuts, is bro, when you're watching from the broadcast view and you can see everything that's happening out there, you know exactly when Steph is about to take a shot. You know exactly when he's going to exploit something in the defense. And it's exhausting, but it's also impressive that he's still doing this at this stage of his career.
A significant portion of Cavs Twitter invested a lot of mental resources into like minimizing Steph. Or like, you know, implying that he was never that good. And I never was among that group. He scared the shit out of me. He felt unfair. He felt inevitable. And like, you know, like that's why 2016 was so special to me, because it's like we finally like slowed this asshole down, you know. So like I feel like I have like PTSD. No, I have PTSD when Steph starts getting hot in a way that I don't with Draymond.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta, now that brings me to another thing. We feel that this is Steph's version of LeBron in 2018, where he's mastered both the skill part of the game, where he's just obviously great, but also the mental, where it's just, you know, that
the apex version of himself.
Right. Cause like, this is not Steph's most athletic version. He's not as quick as he used to be. I mean, look at him. You guys know very well, 2014, 15, 16, way quicker. But this is probably the version you're like, Steph knows exactly what he's doing it, when he's going to do it. And that felt like LeBron when he was running through the East in that 2018 season, where he's just like, I'm just going to sit on DeMar DeRozan when I want to. And when I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, he could just do what he wants. And then he just kind of ran into Steph and KD, which is a different story. But
Carter probably knows exactly where I'm going with this, which is I think his 2018 season is like the most overrated. Like, he was special in that run.
Wow.
But LeBron was not a good defensive player in 2018 at all. And like, that always gets brought up as like his peak season. And I feel like that's just kind of like the peak martyrdom. Like, narrative season, because Nance got hurt.
Guys,
yes,
kind of there.
Nance got hurt. Hill got hurt. Like, he had to do the most with the least that year. Like, they almost lost round one to Indiana. And like,
this sets up Andy's analogy even better.
Yeah, Andy, like, he hit the game winners and all that.
You're making Steph a martyr, even if he's not doing it.
Right. But at that point, like, the defense was so brutal from him. Like, he had to do the most with the least, but I don't think that was his peak.
Season Windhorse wrote the article about he's saving himself on defense and how it's smart. Like,
I don't know. There's been a billion of those over the years.
He was doing that basically the whole Cleveland. Like, yeah,
you also have to remember that Justin was at his grumpiest with LeBron in 2018, he was the most over it and was ready to sign up for four seasons of pain.
I mean, you guys do have a very joyous team now. So, like,
yes, we do.
You did. Sam, you did win it. I was right.
I said, you know what? I want to build something organic. We can build something organic.
You said the first year after LeBron left, that garbage year where we fired Ty Lue. You're like, I had more fun than in 2018. I'm like, you sound like
Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr.
I really was. I really went full Steve Kerr there.
I was so mad at you. I was so mad at those takes. But yeah, ultimately, like, it feels like, to actually answer your question, which Justin failed to do. He just had to go straight into crapping on LeBron because he can't help himself. Because for anyone who's in the chat, Justin loves LeBron. He just doesn't like him. But, you know, ultimately, I think it's there's like something to that. So. There's something to that in terms of his control in the game. And like, but like, I don't know. Like, he's just, I feel like Steph even more than LeBron, because LeBron's, I feel like LeBron's skill arc is much more visible than Steph's. Like, I feel like Steph just like hit an unbelievably high plateau and just kind of stayed flat. But the fact that he stayed flat is insane, because his, the bar is so high. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, just because like, I think we watched like, watch 2015 LeBron and then watch 2018 LeBron, and the skill level is meaningfully different. It's not just control of the game. Like, LeBron's ability to score in the 8 to 15 foot range,
right,
is way, way different. Like, I don't think Steph's gotten any more skilled than he was. He just already was unreal skilled.
So the difference for Steph is, I think he's built out his body more so. Like, he's stronger and he's got more endurance. Like, a big part of Cleveland's success against Steph specifically, like when they face each other in the finals in like 15, 16, that is like, they wore him down. Like, is it easy to wear him down at that point? No, but like, inevitably they did. And I don't think he gets worn down anymore. I think it's, he's made the point that like, he spent all this time like working on his conditioning to get there. And like, how much of it is intelligence to not waste energy at moments you don't need to, like things you do when you're 27 that you're not gonna do at 34, versus how much of it is like weird workouts in the off season. It's hard to say, but like, that's where you see the most meaningful difference in Steph. It's not like he developed a new shot though. You know, it's not like, oh, he couldn't hit from, you know, 18 feet. Now he can, you know, like, that's right. Not where it is.
It's like, boom, you know, Boston was trying to wear him down. And that's, I think, maybe the younger version of Steph gets worn down a little bit. Oh, we got to
play worse.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't dribble left. So it turns out that's a thing you need in basketball. Super chat time from Antoine James. See, this is why we got you on. This is the stuff we need. Warriors have Evan Mobley instead of James Wiseman. Is the team perfect? I'll tell you what about Evan Mobley, man. The feel that he has on defense reminds me of when Draymond Green came into the league, where you're just like, I don't need to watch more than 20 minutes. I know he's going to be a great defender. Like, I'm good. I don't need to see any more. I'm good. He'll get better, but I'm good. I know.
I'll spin it another way. List the big men you'd rather have over Evan Mobley for this specific Warriors team. Forget like, you know, contracts, age, any of that. Like, the only players you're taking over him are, you know, like the obvious, like Giannis.
Yeah, we don't count.
I was going to say, yeah, if we're counting Giannis as a big.
Sure, like guys in their prime. But I want to say, like, I don't get beyond five before like Evan Mobley is the player I'd want. And that's with the concept of competing right now, not like thinking about like, who do I want over a 5-year window or anything like that, which just kind of speaks to not only how talented he is, but just like how perfect his skill set would be for the Warriors team. Cause he's a pretty damn good passer too. Like, yeah, I would say, honestly, that's more impressive than his scoring ability in some ways.
All right. Relax.
So I think it's,
and the defense goes without saying, just to be clear, but yes,
I think the question is especially salient because like the whole spirit of the Wiseman pick was like, to actually extend the timeline and to be that bridge that says, you know, actually we can let Draymond go. He's a headache. You know, we can, you know, he's getting older. He's starting to lose it. And like, you think about like a generational Draymond for this team, you know, someone who's
sure,
you know, super cerebral, can quarterback the defense, can connect
with superior physical gifts. Yeah.
Yeah. He would play so well with Steph and Clay, though Evan Mobley's never made contact on a screen yet in his career. We'll get
neither
him there.
Neither does Wiseman. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
We'll get him there. So like,
he doesn't get on the court anymore. So that's.
I just feel like so much of like what the Warriors front office and ownership probably wanted Wiseman to be is what Mobley is. And that's what stinks about this it.
And ironically, like if Wiseman could just be what Jared Allen is, like Jared Allen would be a perfect fit for the Warriors, like a big that can run the floor make contact, get rebounds, like his passing ability. But yeah, Mobley would be a damn perfect fit. And especially if like Clay kind of gets back to being Clay and continues to get more comfortable, like what you would be able to do with those guys on the court would just be absurd.
You guys,
it'd be really
my favorite. My favorite part's like the grin on both your faces where you're just like, I have zero pity for you. You guys didn't randomly luck into drafting another generational player. You know?
Yeah. Well, I also just remember like us talking about it around the draft and like all four of us were basically like Wiseman would be a mistake. We should probably be Ball.
I was kind of a fan of Wiseman.
Hey, by the way, you guys,
swing and a miss.
How happy are you that Jalen Green went second? You know, Jalen Green might be a good basketball player, but
dude,
he ain't having Mobley.
Well, on the lottery.
Rockets, real quick, Justin. Rockets fans have galaxy brained their way into saying, well, listen, we probably wouldn't want Mobley and Jabari together. So yeah, it's probably Jabari's a good thing that we took Jalen.
No, like, nope. I remember the lottery podcast. Like Carter and I were ecstatic. We're like, we're getting Jalen Green. This is really cool. Like we're going to have Jalen Green. Like it'll be a little weird with Sexton, but you know, this is going to be really fun. He'll be great with Garland. Because both of us like had Mobley as like the clear 1B. Of the draft class. And then reports started coming out and like the next few podcasts were, well, like if this isn't a smokescreen and Mobley's actually falling to us, you just sprint to the podium and take him. Like you don't think twice about it. You don't entertain any trade offers. You don't do anything. And then as it kept getting closer and closer to draft, like I just didn't believe it that it was actually going to happen. But you know, he had the relationship with Kevin Porter Jr. And they thought that was the direction to go. And I love Jalen Green. I love the top of the draft class. We were both really high on Scotty Barnes coming into that draft as well. So that was one of the ones we nailed. But we've also been hilariously wrong on other ones. So,
by the
way,
the Scotty Barnes untouchable for KD stuff. By the way, KD tweeted a tweet about Steph today. So
I saw.
He's on the way back. Give him a couple more weeks here. The Warriors, you know, sniffing around. Come home, Kevin.
Big Jim and Dumbo. Nice.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry.
Take it away.
Toronto's another team doing the two timelines thing, man. Like, I think that's why
I was actually curious where you're going with Scotty. I'm a Scotty guy.
Yeah, I think he's kind of overrated. I think he's kind of overrated. I think it's
kind of overrated.
I think when you say he's untouchable for Kevin Durant, too far.
Miserable player of his generation.
You gotta factor
in the misery, man.
Too far. The guy.
No, I agree with that. Honestly, I agree that he should be untouchable with that because I think Toronto, if you're going to lean in on one of the timelines, you go with the younger guys. Like you almost like sell off Van Vliet and Siakam and lean in on like Trent, OG, and all those guys. No. Like Siakam's obviously taken a step forward, but if I'm looking to consolidate, if I'm Toronto, it's Trent and OG with like three first round picks to see what's going on out there. Like I wouldn't move on from Scotty because with Scotty, especially the fact that they're developing kind of like the point forward stuff, a big point forward that can defend like that is like one of the rarest things you can find in basketball. So I think you have to kind of lean in on the upside of that. Cause even if they trade, like it would probably be more than Scotty anyways, right? Like it would be Scotty, OG and stuff for KD. I don't know if that's winning a championship. They're already one of the most thin teams in the league.
We'll take them back. You guys,
look, you're not slick. The Cavs get good again, and all of a sudden, the Warriors are scrambling to add KD. I see what's happening.
Get these guys out of here.
The game.
Get these guys, Carter, Justin, sirs. I know it's late.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate both of you guys, man. Much love.
Thanks so much,
boys. Too.
Have a good one.
It's nice to be back. Go Cavs.
See you guys in June.
I still can't believe any of you motherfuckers.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
I think it's time to see if we have...
Do we have any goons?
Well, I haven't linked out the link, so you know that's gonna hurt our ability to get goons.
That might. I thought we had the StreamYard out and the thing. Oh, do we got some good quotes? Maybe Tim, maybe throw that one out. Maybe throw the 95.7 tweet up there. Maybe let's go riff on some Steve Kerr quotes if he has some. Oh, here we go. Draymond Green's reaction to seeing the box score. Evan Mobley at 20 points. I don't like that. He's a stud, though. Okay. All right, Draymond. I thought Draymond was fantastic defensively tonight.
I thought it was really good. You know what my overarching take on this team is? As annoying as gutting the bench was and the two timeline thing and Anthony Lamb playing 24 minutes, even though he played really well.
Sure.
They really do just feel like one bench addition away from me feeling like they got kind of like a better version of Anthony Lamb, and I'm all in on this team being able to defend it. They need Otto back. They need a player like that where you're just like someone to throw in the big man rotation who's kind of, you know, a big for the Warriors, but maybe a wing, you know, that type of guy. And, you know, maybe Moses Moody breaks back into the rotation and all of a sudden it's like, that's like nine guys. That's, you know, it's not as deep as last year, but it's like, I feel if everyone's healthy, they can go to battle with most teams if they're locked in.
I think I really like Kerr's rotations tonight. I know I was saying that at halftime. I actually thought it was a pretty good first half. I texted you at halftime like, hey, they're going to win this game by 10 points. Kind of off. But the defense I thought was great. I thought it was, man. You're not going to ever shut down a team as good as that team with so many kind of blue chip players that they have. I also think, though, they are missing defensively that it's like when you have defensive players like Talanoa Hufanga, who may not be great defensively, but he's just going to make a crazy play. He's just going to make a pick.
The GP2, like, I'm just going to jump a passing lane and change the momentum.
They don't have that. Like, they have guys that play really, really good defense, like tonight. They got Wiggs out there, Loon, Steph, Draymond. Like, those guys play really, really solid defense, but they don't. Play. Change a game. Yeah. Well, not, you know, at the end, but they don't, sure. They just don't like, hey, I'm just going to get the ball. I'm going to pick six and get a dunk and let's get going. So I that's one thing that they're missing. I was hoping that Kuminga could be that guy. It's not happening right now. So maybe Dante. Dante was good defensively tonight too. He was solid. So maybe he becomes better at doing that, right? But that was a big thing with the Warriors last season where you're just like, yeah, GP2 is just going to come in and get a pick six and it's going to be sick. Anyway.
We got some goons.
All right.
Let's get to the goons.
All right. All right.
Archie, what's up, bro?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Yes, sir.
You know, good. Always better after a win.
Oh, always, always. I just had Steph praise. I don't really have too much of an analysis.
It's all we want.
Steph just, praise is always allowed.
It's just amazing, man. Like, I run out of words. A lot of times we're used to what he can do at a high clip. But to just see the performance that he put on, as well as just how our defense, for the most part, really kind of shored up a lot in the fourth quarter. I really thought that we were going to lose the game just based off of some of the calls that we were kind of getting. It just felt like one of those games, you know, we get frustrated and you know what happens normally in those games. But just for him to, like, the will to take over the game the way that he does at 34 years old. I saw, like, a ESPN stat. He's, like, the first person since, like, with Wizards Jordan to have back-to-back 40 games at 34. It's just amazing. Right. It's amazing to watch it. I think for Warriors fans, just regardless of where they are, I'm from Baltimore, so I've been a Warriors fan since Baron Davis is the reason I became a Warriors fan.
Nice.
He came when he was in Charlotte. He was just one of my favorite players, and I fell in love with the fan base watching Oracle games. But to say that there was another player past that, obviously being Steph, to kind of surpass that for me was, you know, such a big thing. But I just hope Warriors fans really don't take for granted what we have with Steph. I know that we get into, like, these arguments or, you know, discussions about, are we doing the two timeline thing? Are they wasting his prime? True. You know, whatever the case may be. That's we can talk about all that, but, you know, the artistry of what he does night in and night out, like, the definition of superstar should be his face. Like, I've ran out of literal words for some of the things that we've seen. So I think the team will continue to figure things out. I think last time I was on here, I told you guys I wasn't worried. We'll see how I feel in a couple more games. But, you know, the fact that he's doing this heavy lifting at this age, I hope that, you know, Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Moody, even some of the guys that aren't breaking rotation, I hope they're just kind of watching this and understanding this is what a superstar does. This is the difference between, you know, him and, you know, Devin Booker. And it's no shade or anything like that. It's just there's levels to the shit, and he's top tier. Yep. That's all I got.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Archie. I have nothing to add to that.
I know.
I mean,
really good.
I do think he brought up one thing that you and I often forget to bring up, which is, like, he's 34 years old. He's going to be 35 in a couple months. To just be playing at this level and none of us being like, you know, well, he's close to the end, that sort of thing. Like, he's older than Russell Westbrook. He's older than James Harden. Look at where those guys are. You know what I mean? And it's, like, not even an insult to them. That's just kind of how careers go usually. And meanwhile, 30 looks like he's got another 5 years in him, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Yo, boys. Yes, sir. How we doing?
My guy.
Good.
It was great to finish the best one of the season. I mean, I just joined the pod. I've only heard the last caller, so I don't know what you guys have covered. I don't want to be redundant. But
no.
Best one of the season kind of easily. And I guess my question is and hey, Meredith, the new Warriors fan.
Look at that.
I mean, like,
the boys.
Guys, she's been watching every Warriors game with me this year. I mean, she is so committed. We're getting her Clay jersey. We're going to MSG.
You better be careful.
I know, but it's of all the players on the team, she'd have sex with. It's Clay. Course, so, like, I mean, we got to get her the Clay jersey.
Yeah, of course.
But we're going to MSG when they come here. And if anybody rests, hey, actually, you know, before my question, do you guys think they're gonna rest for the Nets game or the Knicks game? It's a back to back.
Is that back to back? Which one's the front end?
Knicks is front end in December 21st. Nets is 22nd. What game
says
Knicks, right?
Gut says the Nets are going to get the rest, but it's too early to project on that.
That's why I'm waiting on tickets. But my hope is I went to the Nets last year, and it was like one of Steph's better regular season games last year. But I want to go. I want to be an MSG. So I'm hoping we go to that game, but she's going to get a Clay jersey. But I guess with how Steph is playing right now over the last three games and how they've looked post sitting the elephant in the room, does what he's looking like make the idea of trading him for even a role player more immediate than what it has been in the past, you know, coming into the season, the first 5-6 games? I mean, are we at the point, do we think the front office realizes they fucked up and it's time to move on, or no? Do we think they're, like, going to be stubborn to the death type of thing?
Sam? I think it's too early to say on that. The reality of the matter is, based off of what you saw in the first 10 games and the fact that he didn't play last year, are you giving up a role player if you're another team for him? Or are you asking the Warriors to throw in a pick? See, it's like at some, it's a little like, I understand he's young. I understand there's a lot of teams who are like, I want to take my shot at developing him. But that doesn't mean they're willing to overpay for it. So I think it's tricky for the Warriors. I think he has to get back in the rotation, at least show something. And then it's an actual conversation. Because right now he's just a sunk cost.
If you're the Warriors, would you not give up a pick? I mean, look at the current roster construction right now and how young it is. What are picks doing for us next year with how young the roster? Would you not give up a first round pick?
They can't move their 2023 first because they traded their 2024 first, which means they can't move their 2025 first, which means the first pick they can trade is in 2026 when Steph will be 38 years old. And then you actually run into the scenario where you might actually want to keep that one. Otherwise, you might look like the Lakers just gifting another team.
I was going to say, are the Warriors the Lakers at this point?
I think it's trickier than he's not going to play right now. They have to get him on the court playing better than he looked before. And then let's talk about it a little bit.
Like the young guys last year, I think we would all agree they really thrived on any of the games where the vets took off. It was like, there would be these great Poole and Kuminga games. Moody had like a 30 point game when everybody was sat. Is the idea we keep him not playing and then on like nights off, like back to backs, this is when he should come in, get 28 minutes and look good. And then that can build his stock. Like we're at the point where the front office knows Wiseman would go before Kuminga, right? Like there's no question or debate between that. I would assume by Kuminga playing at least spot minutes, right?
I would think so. I would think so. I mean, he also just fits as a basketball player. I don't know if he fits with the Warriors, but theoretically as a wing player, he's going to fit better. But man, if there's one team that's going to hold on forever, it's going to be the Warriors. I was thinking about the D'Lo trade and how it was kind of surprising. But then you also heard in the background how much the Warriors hated D'Lo as a player, not as a person, player.
Sure.
I don't know if the Warriors are there yet with Wiseman, but you do hear some stuff about
At least D'Lo can lead a bench celebration, I guess. You know,
those guys were depressing today again, huh? On the bench. Just
now again. I mean, they looked terrible. They looked so miserable. The only person on the bench that was excited when anything was going on was when fucking Steph was standing there. It's on his feet when he was on the bench celebrating. Nobody else was celebrating. It's funny how it's tough to watch.
Someone in their mid 30s has more energy than teenagers. It's just, you know, not good.
I don't know.
It's not how life works. You know,
I'll entitlement. Let you guys move on.
Entitlement is the Mikis. Appreciate you. Can't wait till the next one. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
Before you do that, just Mika's just throwing his phone over with his girlfriend in the bath. Just the guy, he is a madman, and we respect light years for crazy as Mika's. All right, there you go.
Yeah, Mika's the man. It's getting a little tiresome to dance around the reality of the Warriors' young players, which is they're not bought in right now. You know, like it's kind of. I'm going to try to be gentle with this, but like you said, did they seem happy that the Warriors were making a run with them on the bench, or did they seem like they were annoyed they weren't playing?
I'm with you.
They look miserable. Okay.
They look miserable. No, they look miserable. Yeah. No, they look miserable.
I think only once they move beyond that, positive can come, honestly, like on this team. Like once they let that go a little bit, then things could change.
But I hate how that's such a big deal. Like at first when I said it, it kind of half jokingly. Now it seems like it's an actual thing, which is kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's get to Antoine.
Yeah, let's go. Let's roll.
Antoine, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to start out by saying what Archie said, just to start off by saying we got to appreciate watching Steph Curry right now. And I think what that is doing to the Warriors fan base is kind of weird, a little generational. I was having an argument with my dad, and I see there's two opposite sides of the, you know, young guys argument, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are... Well, Lacob, you know, kind of proved he was right last year. The young guys can still, you know,
he didn't prove he's right in any way.
Yeah, I know. But that is the argument on the other side, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other side is we're watching one of the maybe 8 to 12 best players of all time play on our favorite team, and we should be doing everything we can to maximize the chance of winning. But my dad did, I had an argument with him, and he did bring up a good point. Just for this season, right, if you are trying to maximize your winning, who is that player that you would give up, you know, your lottery pick for? Even if it's not multiple ones, you're not combining all three or whatever, but who is that player out there that would help this team now? Heard you guys talking about their one, you know, kind of wingy defensive hit an open three bench player away. You know, Otto Porter, if he could stay healthy, 82 games would be perfect, but that player doesn't exist right now. Who is that guy that you guys, you think would, you would trade somebody young with the kind of potential of a Moody or a Kuminga for, you know, this year and maybe one more year?
Tough. I mean, in terms of the exact player, I mean, we can throw around names. Like, everyone knows the Spurs are considering trading Jakob Poeltl, who's their starting center. And that's a different type of player than the type you're mentioning. To me, they need to add someone who can play in the front court for them, because they're playing Anthony Lamb, who's 6'6", generously, right?
Yeah.
As their third big. I think Dante can help them on the perimeter. I think Moody or Kuminga can also come around at some point as a perimeter body, but I want someone. And last year it was Otto Porter for them. Honestly, like, Otto has been a wing his whole career, but he played big for them last year. If they could add someone who just like takes a little pressure off Draymond and Looney, I just roll with it. Like, honestly, if it's someone like Poeltl, who, he'll never be a star, but he fits what the Warriors do perfectly, it's worth it. Even if he doesn't have the upside of like the number 7 overall pick, if he helps you get to the finals again, what more can you really ask for? I mean, like you said, you're dealing with, this is the best player any of us are going to see wear a Warriors jersey. They're going to have to rebuild after he retires no matter what. It's a question of if it's going to be a long rebuild or like a quick rebuild, right? I'm of the opinion I'd rather just put all my chips out there and deal with the future when it comes, because I don't want to sit here being like, well, we wasted the last two good years of Steph's prime trying to chase like the perfect future. You know,
I mean, you can argue also, you're not really giving up the future.
Yeah.
How much of the future are you giving up? Jordan Poole's awesome. Kuminga, Moody, I think Moody's going to be fine. I think Kuminga, has a little more. That's already three guys. And then you've got Patrick Baldwin and Rollins. We have no idea if Baldwin and Rollins are going to be good. I saw Rollins had almost 30 points last night. That's five guys. You talk about the future. How much, and thanks, Antoine. I know we just had him. How much, quote unquote, future are you giving away, right? If you're talking about trading someone like a James Wiseman. Anyway, Let's keep it moving with this Kevon Looney quote here. You want me to read it out, Sam, or you want it?
Yeah, you read it out. Okay. This is a good one.
I like this one. This is a great way to kind of to leave the show here. Kevon Looney on players that fit into the Warrior system. Quote, guys who have a high IQ. We rely on spacing and cutting. Being on the court with all-stars, you have to know where to be at. The front office has done a great job of finding guys like that. Anthony Lamb is an example. End quote. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are Looney for GM. No, he's right. Like, so much of what the Warriors do has to do with, like, can you react in real time to the havoc Steph causes? Sorry. Like, so no one is ever going to be guarded like Steph Curry. He moves in all sorts of weird ways. So, like, IQ actually carries more weight than shooting in some capacities for his team. Like, Looney can't shoot. Looney's not a shooter. Draymond's also not a shooter. Randomly he'll hit a shot, but like, he's not a shooter. But like, their ability to just make the right decision and move off of him makes them better. All that points to why it's like a bad environment for like a raw 20-year-old to play in. But like, overall, like, yeah, the smarter you are, the more you fit the worst.
I saw Anthony Lamb today have the ball at the extended free throw line, turn around and dribble to Steph in the corner as Steph was moving to give him the ball. Nothing happened on that play. Nobody scored. That was the first half. Nothing really happened. But that right there, I was like, oh yeah,
I'm in. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. This guy knows how to play. Like Otto Porter did that day one. GP2 was setting screens for Steph day one. Bielitsa, pick and pop guy, fit in day one.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Wiggins, it took him a year, but he got there pretty easily. Like he's not a dumb player. Pretty easy. And you look at these guys, to your point, is it James Wiseman's fault? Like maybe, but maybe not actually, because that's just not how he's ever played basketball. So how the hell do you expect a kid like that to learn to play that way? Same with Kuminga. Moody, I think, you know, can probably figure that out at some point. He still shoots a little much, but he'll figure that out. I saw Anthony Lynn do that, and I'm just like, dude, JTA used to do that all the time, remember? I mean, I used to get annoyed because JTA passed too much, but dude, end of the day, it's better you pass to Steph than you try to look at your own shot. It's not like Kuminga's an efficient scorer right now anyway, right? Same with Damian Lee, so... I mean, yeah, Kevon Looney knows what's butter is bread, right? He's sitting there. He's like, yeah, I'm going to make like $30 million in my life because I know how to play with Steph. You know,
screen, box out and pass to Steph.
It's a good life.
You're good to go. You're good to go.
By the way, Looney looked pretty good tonight against Mobley and Allen. That's pretty cool.
Looney remains underrated. Not among the Light Years fans and the Warrior fans, but like, in the general NBA sphere, like I feel like people don't understand how good a player he is. Like, and it's probably better for, you know, I know Joe Lacob's happy about it because he costs less money. So, but yeah, Looney's good. It'd be interesting to see what they do because it's working. What they do works.
It works.
But do they have enough guys to work the whole way? And that's what's going to be interesting to see. Like, I feel like that's a story, honestly. It is. Because, like, we know they got, like, seven guys, and they're trying to get that to nine. They're trying to see what they have, you know?
Can I make a prediction here?
Yeah.
I know it's 10:45. It's almost 11 p.m. on a Friday night. You got to get to bed. I think seven guys. They have seven guys right now. I think that JaMychal Green and Moses Moody get there by the end of the season. I think so. I think JaMychal Green can do maybe 70% of Otto Porter. And I think Moses Moody can get there and be a nine. By the end of the season, you get those nine guys. I don't think they trade Wiseman. I don't think they trade Kuminga. And I think those guys just end up not playing as much.
You just hate the trade machine, dude.
I don't hate it. I wish they would. But you and I both know they're not going to. You and I both know. You won't predict it, Sam. I know that they won't.
No, because I'm trying to speak into existence. But you're right. All right, let's get out of here. Appreciate everyone. It's a fun one.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better, and your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.